Thank you for tuning in to Highland Chapel Online. My name is Nick Calloway. I'm one of the pastors here at HC. We love being able to offer this resource, but please don't let it take the place of gathering with your local church. What a privilege it is to be known, to be seen, and to enjoy the fellowship of believers. But while you're here, we hope that God's word is encouraging to you and that you'll respond to His message. Have a great day.
Good morning, Highland Chapel. Have you been blessed so far? Worship. Wow. I don't want to demean the preaching of the Word of God, but I'm tempted to say it's only downhill from here, Pastor Keaton. Wow, set the bar high, buddy. And worship team, it's great. It's great. So glad that you're here, church. Can I brag on you for a moment? Okay, great. Everybody loves a compliment. I want to brag on you, church, for a moment. Last week, no question, was a difficult topic. Probably one that was difficult to hear. I know it was a difficult one to preach. But I want to brag on you because you received it well. You know why you received it well? Because you love the Word of God, Highland Chapel. And I'm so thankful for that. It is a joy to preach here. It is a joy to open the Word of God and unashamedly preach its truths because I know the congregation that I have the privilege of serving loves the Word of God. They love you, the wonderful stuff, right? That's just easy to hear. It blesses your week, but you equally love the difficult truths that are hard to take, hard to hear. So church, I just want to brag on you. Thank you so much for receiving it so well. Last week, our topic in the sermon series, Finding Hope, looking at Joseph, was finding hope in sexual temptation. If you weren't here, if you missed that, I want to encourage you to go to our YouTube channel, check that out, listen to that message, get caught up where we're at, but see if by the preaching of the Word of God, seeing how Joseph handled that temptation, hopefully will give you hope. What we learned is that we don't have to always ask for forgiveness. We don't have to fall into sin. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to overcome, to say no, to walk away, to resist that temptation. But we also learned that if we do fall in, if we do fall prey to temptation, we fall into sin, that there's hope there as well. So today, I want to get us caught up where we're at in the story. If you have a Bible, I want you to go to Genesis chapter 40. That's where we're going to spend the bulk of our time. We're going to read from a few other places, but Genesis 40 is where we're going to be. Let me get us called up real briefly. There at the end of last week, we were in 39, and Joseph was resisting Potiphar's wife. But she really ramps up the temptation, so much so that she puts hands on Joseph. And Joseph, being the godly man that he is, when she grabs a hold of his cloak, he takes off running so fast that he leaves his garment in her hand. That's how fast he ran away. And because of this, she was embarrassed. Joseph wasn't giving in, and so she cries sexual assault. And she lies, she makes false claims, and ultimately, she has Joseph thrown in prison. Joseph winds up in prison, yes, for doing the right thing. So that's where we see him in this story. And when we're going to be looking at this story today, if you're a note taker, I want you to write this down. Finding Hope, right? It's a series title. Out beside it, I want you to write down Maintaining Godly Character. Finding Hope, Maintaining Godly Character. Now, we could have got this sermon topic from any of the scenarios that Joseph has found himself in so far. I mean, it's a man of God that exhibits godly character in all phases. But today, at this particular point in the story when he's in prison, is really where we're going to draw from his godly character, those traits. Let's do something together as a church. I want you right now to think of someone in your life, I mean, just knee-jerk, immediate. Who is someone in your life that you would say exhibits godly character? Are you thinking of them? Seriously, take a moment. Don't say it. Just think about it. Think of someone in your life that exhibits godly character. Raise your hand if you've got that person in your mind. You see, it didn't take long. It didn't take long for you to process that person in your life. For me, precious grandmother, Pauline Bailey, what a gem. She's with her Savior now. But what a joy that precious lady was. And if you're thinking of that person, you have them in your mind, you're thinking of them as that godly person, perhaps for many reasons. Maybe they're a person that exhibits fruits of the Spirit. They're just awesome, godly people. Or maybe they're someone that has, maybe they've lived a difficult life. Like maybe more trials than what seems fair. And because of all those trials, they have always maintained godliness, and maybe you just admire them because they shine brighter now than ever. Well, whatever the reason, you have that person in your mind because they're godly. They're godly. And chances are, because you know that person, they've taught you. Maybe their godliness has helped shape you into the person that you are. We thank God for those people, don't we? But godly character is really important. And as children of God, we need to learn how to maintain godly character, or for some of us, we need to learn how to establish godly character. It's really important. And Joseph, being a godly man, always, it seems like, exhibits godly character. So where we're at in this particular story is 39. He finds himself in prison. But before we get to really the points of the message, we cannot breeze by this passage without talking about it for a moment. 39:21. It's going to be on the screen. It says, "But the Lord was with Joseph in prison and showed him his faithful love." So the Lord was with him there. "And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden." Let's talk about this simple passage for a moment. Let's see what is happening here. If you remember, when Joseph found himself a slave in Potiphar's house, Scripture says he was the very best slave. And now when Joseph finds himself in prison, Scripture says he was the very best prisoner. Are you catching a theme, church? Are you hearing that? In whatever circumstance that Joseph found himself in, he was the best at it. Like he exhibited godly character in all things. Colossians chapter 3. I want you to, many of us know this by heart. It'll be on the screen. It says, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you're working for the Lord rather than people. Like, this particular passage convicts me often. But the crazy thing is, Joseph didn't have the New Testament, but this was written on his heart. Like he served God. He loved God, and because of his love for God, he knew that in whatever situation that he found himself in, his godly character had to shine. Like, he had to honor God with his life. An illustration that I like to use, we want to be godly fathers, don't we, dads? In the room, let me hear you. Like, we want to be godly dads. But for you to be a godly dad, hear me out, you need to be a godly husband. And for you to be a godly dad, you need to be a godly husband. You need to be a man that is honorable in all things, including his work, loving his neighbor. In all facets of life, you need to be a godly man. Why? Because your children don't just see you when you put on your dad hat. They see you all the time. Like, there are no days off when it comes to godly character. It's who we are. Like, you can't pick and choose when I'm going to be a godly person. Joseph knew this, so in whatever situation he found himself in, he was godly. He had godly character. God was with him. He was someone that wanted to exhibit a godly character. Do you feel the same? So where are we at here in this particular story? So here he is in prison, just being the very best prisoner. And what we see when we read the story, I'll try to paraphrase it for us today, is while he's in prison, a couple of Pharaoh's men get thrown in there with him. We have a cupbearer and a baker that are brought up in the story. And here they all are in prison, and Joseph walks up to them one day. They look a little distressed. They look like something's going on, and he says, "What's going on, guys? How can I help?" And the cupbearer and the baker, they say, "Well, Joseph, we've had these dreams, and man, we're struggling to figure out what they mean." So Joseph has a gift, and he interprets the dreams for them. And here in the story is where things get a little sketchy for Joseph again. So I want you to write this down. If we're thinking about maintaining godly character, we can learn from Joseph. He's in prison, so I want you to write this down. The first thing that I want you to hang on to is that you need to understand that there is a design in your distress. Like if we're focused on maintaining a godly character, we need to understand, have this conviction, have this truth written on our hearts, that when we encounter difficult seasons, church, let's be real with one another. We are all going to enter difficult seasons. Can I get an amen? Like, man, life just lifes, doesn't it? And like we're gonna enter tough seasons. And please hear me, I need you to look at me right now. When you enter a difficult season and you have this truth written on your heart, it'll change your life. When you walk into a tough season with full understanding that God is there, that there is a design for what you're going through, no matter how difficult, how terrible it may seem, there is a design in the circumstance. We see that Joseph had this perspective. If you go to all the way to 50 verse 20 in Genesis, he says, "Well, what you meant for evil, God meant for good." And I'm convinced that God was revealing that to his heart through every situation that he encountered, yes, even in prison unfairly. Like he knew this. He had this truth written on his heart that I don't know what it is. God hasn't shown me what it is, but there is a design here. I'm going to be faithful, and I'm going to allow my godly character to shine through. Oh, but how tempted we are when things don't go according to plan to start to doubt God's design and his purpose. And when that happens, we're tempted to let go of our godly character. I want to read a quote from Charles Spurgeon talking about difficult times. He says, "A high character might be produced, I suppose, by continued prosperity, but it has very seldom been the case. Adversity, however it may appear to be our foe, is our true friend. And after a little acquaintance with it, we receive it as a precious thing, the prophecy of a coming joy. It should be no ambition of ours to traverse a path without a thorn or stone." Are you able to see life's darkest times with that perspective? I want to go back. I want to repeat it. When you can enter into difficult seasons with that perspective, that God is using it, that there is a design, it'll change your life. It'll allow you to maintain godly character. We all have that person. It may even be you, that when that very difficult season came to pass, you were all but godly. And perhaps you failed the test. I want to read some words from our friend Job. Do you remember him? Remember his story? Chapter 23, 10 through 12. He says, "But he knows where I'm going. And when he tests me, I will come out as pure as gold. For I have stayed on God's paths. I followed his ways and not turned aside. I have not departed from his commands, but have treasured his words more than daily food." You see, you have two choices when difficult seasons show up, and they will show up. Honor God or curse God? That's your choices. Do you remember what Job's wife said to him? She said, why don't you just give up? Why don't you just curse God and die? And he says, how could I do such a thing? If we're so quick to receive the good, surely we can receive the bad. You see, when things don't go our way, when tests come, that is precisely the opportunity when godly character should shine the brightest. Like, it's so easy when you're up on the mountain to say, God's good. But is it that easy when you're in the valley? Is it that easy when you're in the pit? Is it that easy when things aren't going to plan? Will your godly character still shine bright? Will you still say, God is good? Will you still say, He is wonderful and He's got a plan and He's watching over me? Or will you curse God and be done with Him? You see, godly character has to maintain at all times. Will you still give God honor when things aren't going really well? So what about our friend Joseph? What's going on with his story? Where's he at? Genesis chapter 40. He's interpreted the dreams, and this is what he says to the cupbearer in verse 14. He says, and please remember me, and do me a favor when things go well for you. Mention me to Pharaoh so he might let me out of this place. Well, things did go well for the cupbearer, not so much the baker. If you've read the story, the baker didn't make it. That's why he said this to the cupbearer. Like, when things go well for you, remember me. And we see in verse 23 that Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, however, forgot all about Joseph. Thanks, friend. Never giving him another thought. Boy, they were buddies, weren't they? Come on, man. Remember Joseph. He forgot all about him. He receives his release from prison. Joseph's like, hey, man, when you get up there, tell the Pharaoh about me. He forgot all about him. Do you ever feel forgotten about? In your distress, in your moment, do you ever feel forgotten about? It brings us to our second point that I want you to write down. God will honor your righteousness. I need you to hang on to that truth. God will honor your righteousness. Maybe off to the side, you need to write this down. God has not forgotten me. I need you to hear me, church. God will not forget about you. What we see in the story, if we keep on reading, he remained down there for around 2 years after this event. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how he felt in this moment? God, I've done everything that you've asked me to do. I'm a slave, I'll be the best slave. I'm a prisoner, I'm the best prisoner. All I ask was this guy to remember me, to get me out of here. And he can't even remember me. Like, come on. Can you imagine what Joseph felt in this moment? He's done everything that the Lord God Almighty has asked out of him, and he seems forgotten about. Child of God, I need you to hear me this morning. In your distress, whatever it may be, God will not, cannot forget about you. But the struggle with this one is that when we seek to honor God, we're obedient, we expect Him to come through immediately, don't we? Like, we really want immediate results. Maybe you're excited about the faith. You pick up the word, you learn something, and you start applying it to your life. You're like, God, look at me. I'm doing what you're asking. I'm being obedient to your word. Like, you got to start doing something for me, Lord. And he doesn't do it immediately. You see, where our godly character is tested, it's tested in the waiting. Like, it's tested, like, can you be patient? Can you wait on the Lord to come through? For Joseph, it was over 2 years. Like, can you wait a day? Can you wait a week? Can you wait a lifetime for your reward? Or will you abandon godly character? This is how this translates into real life. My heart goes out to students, college students, just trying to live a life that honors God. Like, they're really trying. They're trying to be obedient. And because of their obedience, it just seems like, man, they're losing friend groups. They're being left out. They feel isolated, maybe even made fun of. And they get tired of waiting for God to honor their obedience. So they begin to jeopardize their godly character. They begin to give in a little and a little and a little. Or how about this scenario? God, you've asked me to be pure. You've asked me to save myself for marriage and to pray and to date the right people and to wait on the one that you have for me. But here I am still waiting. You're not coming through when I think. And so when you start to get frustrated in the waiting, you begin to have the thoughts, maybe I'm going to sacrifice my godly character and start to step into space that I don't normally go. Because we have trouble being patient. We have trouble waiting on God. Listen to me. Your faith is not always, it can be, it's not always instant gratification. God's not always immediately like showing up rewarding you for your good behavior, for your obedience instantly. It's not how it works. We see this in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It says, let's not get tired of doing what is good. You ever grow weary of doing the right thing? Joseph was in prison for doing the right thing. Do you think at times he may have been like, yeah, it'd been easier just to sin? Don't get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, did you hear that? Is it your time? It's God's time. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we what, church? Don't give up. Don't get tired. I'm begging you. Don't get tired of pursuing godliness. Don't grow weary in exhibiting godly character. Like God's not forgotten about you. In whatever situation that you find yourself in, he's not forgotten about you. A few years ago, I want to share a story with you. Many of the pastors in the room are going to remember this. We had a leadership guy come in. He was teaching us, and he had this awesome example, much about what Job said. He says, you're going to test me. He's going to leave me in there. I'm going to come out. It's pure as gold. He had this example about this metallurgist. And we've got a refinery in Little Rock. And he picked up the phone, and he called the refinery, and he made this joke. He said, the guy picked up the phone, and he laughed. He said, you would not believe how many times pastors call me wanting to know about the process of refining precious metals. Well, I can't remember how the whole story went, but there's a few things that I held on to. As he was sharing with this particular pastor the process of refining gold, there's some phrases that he said. He said, it takes the skilled hand and touch of a skilled master smith to know exactly how long to leave the metal in the fire. He said, if you pull the metal out of the fire too soon, it doesn't get all the impurities out. But if you leave the metal in the fire just a little bit too long, it'll burn it all up. So he said, it takes somebody that really knows the precious metal to keep it in the flame for just the right amount of time. Are you hearing me, child of God? You hearing me? At just the right time, God delivers. Every single time. Not on your time frame, on his. So hear me out. Don't grow weary of doing what is right. The master is watching over you. The master will care for you. The master will pull you from the flame at just the right time and leave you pure gold. Trust the process. Trust what God is doing in and through your life. 1 Peter chapter 1, 6 and 7 says, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Do you believe that? Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, It will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. He will, please hear me, reward your righteousness. Don't give up on him in the waiting. Don't sacrifice your godly character because you grow impatient. God will reward you on his time. He'll reward you, child of God. So when God does deliver, I believe he is a deliverer. When God does rescue, when God does reward, I need you to write this truth down that will help us maintain godly character. When he shows up, promote him, not yourself. Promote God, not yourself. Write that down, type it in your phone, whatever you need to do, and then I need you to make eye contact with me. Pride will destroy your character. Pride will destroy your godly character. Scripture says pride goes before what, church? The fall. Scripture's clear that God opposes the proud and gives grace to the who? Humble. When he shows up, promote him, not yourself. So what did Joseph do in his story? How did he do this? I want to take us further on down the story. Here we are 2+ years later. Pharaoh himself has a dream. And all of a sudden, the cupbearer remembers, hey, I met a guy in prison, and he has a gift. He can interpret dreams. His name's Joseph. And that's where we pick up in Genesis 41, 14 through 16. It says, Pharaoh sent for Joseph at once. And he was quickly brought from the prison. After he shaved and changed his clothes, he went in and stood before Pharaoh. Please understand who this is. This is the Pharaoh of Egypt, the one you read about in history books. It's a big deal. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream last night, and no one here can tell me what it means. But I have heard that when you hear about a dream, you can interpret it. Listen to what he says. If you highlight stuff in your Bible, this is it. He says, it is beyond my power to do this. Joseph replied, but God can tell you what it means and set you at ease. Did you see how quickly Joseph said, it's not me, but it's God? Remember his situation, please, if you will. He was in prison for over 2 years. Here's his chance. He's out. He's standing in front of Pharaoh. What an opportunity to build yourself up. What an opportunity to make yourself look good. What an opportunity to show Pharaoh your worth so you can get out of prison. Like, what kind of temptation that must have been for Joseph to build himself up. But no, what does he do? He gets out of prison and he says, it's not me that can do the interpreting, it's God. Did you hear that, church? He'd received a reward. Like, he's like, hey, here I am, I'm out. But it's God, it's not Joseph. Are you that quick to give God the credit over yourself? You see, perhaps when we're in the waiting phase and we get tired of waiting on God, we start to figure out how to do things on our own strength, don't we? And we think we can figure it out. And when things finally go our way, we want to take credit for it. Listen to me. Do not be quick to claim things. It's God. Can I be blunt with you? You're like, sure, Luke, you're blunt with us every week. There's not a person in this room with breath in their lungs without God willing it, without God ordaining it, without God allowing it to happen. He's over it all. So when things go our way, when we are rewarded for our righteousness, it's God, church, not you. Are you quick to promote him? Or are you quick to say, it's God, not me? You ever been around a prideful person? We don't have to name names. but we know them, don't we? It's tough to be around a prideful person. Because as children of God, we know that it's all God anyway. What do we have to be prideful about? He's over it all. So in life's highest moments, make sure that you give credit to God. That's godly character. That's what Joseph does here. He resists the temptation. And he never puts himself in the middle of the story. It won't be on the screen, but in verse 33, he says, therefore, Pharaoh should find an intelligent, wise man and put him in charge of the entire land of Egypt. He still had an opportunity to interject himself in the story, but he doesn't. We go on and we see ultimately what happens to Joseph in 41, verse 41. He says, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt. You see how God provided? You see how God restored? Do you see how God rewarded? Joseph never elevated himself. And because of that, God honored that. Resist the urge to take credit for anything. It's all God anyway. Make sure that you promote him and not yourself. That's what somebody with godly character does. Micah 6:8. We see in Scripture all over where Scripture tells us to humble ourselves. But Micah chapter 6, verse 8, many of you know it. It says, know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good. And this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Are you walking humbly with the one that's over it all? Child of God, and it's a challenge to exhibit godly character. We can do it. Learn from the story of Joseph, and perhaps one day, many years from now, when a preacher is standing up here and asks someone in the crowd, who's someone that exhibits godly character in your life, you can be that person. Let me pray for you. God, we love you. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the instruction that it brings. And God, we praise you for all of your word, but it's been such a joy, convicting, to look at the story of Joseph. And I pray this morning that we would never elevate him to that of Jesus Christ, but we would learn from his example and his godliness. So God, help us to pursue godly character. Help us to maintain it. Help us to keep it. Help us to never sacrifice godly character for anything. And God, we praise you for your son Jesus and the perfect example he gives and what he did on the cross for our sins. We praise you for him. In his precious name we pray. Amen.